We come today to a classic passage on the subject of giving. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read and talk about verses 6 and 7. This is where Paul says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." In this context, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about the gift that they were sending to the poor saints in Jerusalem. He had already told them to give on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "Let every one of you lay by him in store on the first day of the week." And now, he encourages them even more. He explains further the details of scriptural, biblical, godly giving. Let's begin in verse 6. Paul said that giving is like planting seed. It depends on how much you sow. If you sow a little, you're going to get a little. If you sow much, you're going to get much. This is what he means. When he says, "He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." We see that in farming. We see that in planting a garden. If you expect to get a big crop, you're going to have to plant a lot of seeds. And so a man has no right to plant just a few seeds and then to expect a big crop, because the Bible says that your crop is going to depend on how much you plant. And so if you plant a little, you're going to get a little back. If you plant a lot, then you're going to get a lot out of it. That's what he means when he talks about sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly. That's what he means when he talks about sowing bountifully and reaping bountifully. You see, the Bible takes the simplest illustrations of everyday life and makes the most profound points in the Bible. The Bible doesn't use high-sounding and complex explanations of profound themes. It uses the simple, everyday illustrations of life that we're all familiar with to make the deepest and the most meaningful points. So we get back according to what we give, and this is a truth that is taught throughout the Bible. Listen to these verses that talk about giving and what you get back as a result of giving. In Luke 6, verse 38, here's what Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." So Jesus said, if you give, it's going to be given to you. Back in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, one of the problems among the Jewish people in Malachi's day is that they were not giving. And here's what Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." That's God speaking to these people. God says, "You have robbed me." And as you find in the book of Malachi many times, God will make a charge against these people, and the people respond like they don't know what he's talking about, or they ask a question, "Well, how did we do that?" or "How did we commit this sin?" So they answer back after God says, "You have robbed me." They said, "Wherein have we robbed you?" In other words, how or in what way have we robbed you? And God's answer is this, in tithes and offerings. He goes on to say in verse 9, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." They robbed him because they didn't give of what they had to the Lord. And here's what God says, and this is a promise, in verses 10 and 11. God said in verse 10, "If you will bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, that is, test me, put me to the test. See if what I'm saying here will hold true. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he goes on to say that he will bless their land in verse 11 so that it will bring a healthy crop. So in Malachi chapter 3, we have a lesson. We have an example of giving and as a result being given to. But there's another passage in the Old Testament that's very interesting along this line. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, watch verse 10. You see, verse 9 says to honor the Lord by giving back to him. In verse 10, the Bible talks about the blessing that you will receive by honoring him with your gifts. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So God told the Jews in Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, that if they honored him by giving to him, then God would bless them by providing for them and by giving them the things that they need in this life and by giving them abundantly the things that they need. So going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, we find that we do get back when we give liberally to the Lord. Now, how do we get back according to how we give? The Bible says that if we give a little, we're going to get back a little. If we give a lot, we're going to get back and receive a lot. How so? Well, there is a sense in which we receive material and earthly blessings from the Lord. These passages that we've just looked at show that. And of course, this is not some kind of mathematical formula so that you can set it down and say, well, I gave this percentage or this amount, and I'm going to get this exact amount back. It's a principle. And although the Bible doesn't give us the details about how much or exactly when or in what form those material blessings will occur, the Bible does show that this is the promise of God, and it is a principle that the Bible teaches in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But the material blessings are only a part of what you get back when you give like you should, because the spiritual blessings that you receive because of giving are worth far more. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 35, that we ought to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. One of those blessings is joy. It's the happiness. It is the fulfillment of being able to give and to help someone who is in need especially. And to be able to give so that we can further the Lord's cause on this earth. There is great joy in being able to do that. That is one of the blessings that we receive. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, that Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's. And he's talking about giving. He's talking about sacrificing time and these other things that he talks about. He said, when a person has done that for my sake and the gospel, in verse 30, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. He's talking about spiritual blessings. So whatever we lose, whatever we give up and sacrifice in this life, we get back, Jesus said many times over, in spiritual blessings in the body of Christ. And thirdly, of course, the Bible shows that we receive, as Jesus says, in the world to come, eternal life. Now, this goes hand in hand with what Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Listen very carefully. Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 7. The Bible says that we are to give for the right reason. Notice the wording of verse 7 in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So the Bible says that every man is to do this. It is an individual matter. Every person is to give. Now again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So this is a very personal matter. God wants every person to give. He doesn't expect us to give as much as the next person. He expects us to give according to what we're able to give. And he says that every man is to give according as he purposes in his heart. So giving is to be purposeful. And it starts with the heart. It begins in the heart, not in the billfold, not in a checkbook. Giving is not giving what is simply left over after we've spent on everything else. Giving is not giving just to get a tax break. This means that we must have a giving spirit, not a selfish heart, not being greedy, but being compassionate, being full of faith. Giving begins in the heart. And when the heart is right, the giving will follow. You can preach to people all day and tell people to give, but unless they get their heart right, they're not going to give like God wants them to give. But if their heart is right, the giving will follow. You don't have to beat them over the head. You don't have to push them and press them because their heart is inclined to giving. This is why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. And this is exactly why we've pointed out several times that the Macedonians were great givers for this very reason. How is it that these very poor Macedonians could give like they did? Well, it's because, as he said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, the first thing that they did was to give their own selves to the Lord. So Paul says every man is to give according as he purposes in his heart, and he is not to give grudgingly. He is not to give of necessity. So Paul teaches us that we are not to resent giving. We're not to complain about it. And after we've given, we're not to wish that we hadn't given so much. So don't just give out of duty. Don't just give because you feel like you have to. Don't give because you feel like you're being made to. You see, you don't like for people to give you something when they don't really want to. We resent that. And if that's true with us, if we don't like it when people feel like they just have to give something to us and they don't really want to give it to us, if we don't consider that a real gift, then how does God look at people who give to him, but they don't really want to? They do it, like Paul says, with a grudging attitude. They do it out of necessity and not out of love and not because they really desire to do it. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. God loves everybody. God loves all men. But the Bible is drawing attention to the fact that in a special way, God loves a cheerful giver. So be a cheerful giver, and God will love you for it.